just happen. This did not just happen in the United States. It's happened in Canada. It's happened. It happened elsewhere in the West. Is that these publicly funded broadcasters have ended up being as bad, if not worse, than some of the private ones. PBS, they fired this PBS executive, for one. But, I mean, you know, he's probably just the tip of a rather large iceberg. You know, like, send your kids to a Sesame Street indoctrination camp kind of leaves me, well, it doesn't kind of, it actually leaves me very chilled. Being a member of the Manosphere, for instance, right? I mean, I'm already, as if I were to become a father, specifically the father of a boy, now I already have to be on the lookout for feminist teachers and teachers looking to indoctrinate my kid into the pop, into the common belief system. I'm already on the lookout for that. And also, by the way, making sure that you don't end up with a 1984 scenario where the teachers use the kids to basically form some sort of an unofficial rat line so that teachers can get their parents tossed into prison. That's a possibility here as well. And I also have to worry about being, I would have to worry if I was the father of son, I also have to be consciously aware of making sure that my son has a counterweight to the propaganda, specifically the open, the
guys,
sometimes
I'm gonna
open.
Have to, sorry, there was just gunshots outside my house. I'm going to be right back.
Okay, no problem. I have to act as a counterweight to the propaganda that they see in popular media here. That disturbs me as well. And to realize that, I mean, like, you're not even safe, what, say, having your kids watch Sesame Street now is a little bit disturbing. Actually, not a little bit disturbing. It's a lot disturbing. Now, currently, V's the only one on the air, and I'm going to try getting a hold of Rearson and Henrik again. So, V, take as much time as you need. Comment away.
Okay. Well, I find that in this war that we're having, these institutions, some are going to rise, some are going to fall. Okay, we have been questioning people like the WHO, the HWO, because of the outright lies that they've been telling us, right? We have so much misinformation about the vaccines, about COVID, about everything down to wearing a mask. A lot of disinformation, a lot of uncertainty. A lot of these people, when asked, you know, it's like, well, it's our best guess. And here we have an institution, PBS. Now, I never had any issues, any personal beef with them in my earlier life. Most definitely in my later life, as you want to talk about information. You want to talk about truth. PBS is a trusted organization, was a trusted organization that put out what I would call bland and sterile truth. Something that anybody can research. They didn't go way out on the limb politically ever when I was young. So, I mean, I didn't think they were too bad people. A bad organization, a bad company. But as of late, and when I say as of late, I'm going to say possibly over the last 5 years, as that's when I've been dealing with them personally. Now, I have used some material for my documentaries, And albeit without permission, a lot of it, you know, I'm not looking to stroke anyone's ego. I'm not looking to bow to anyone. I simply found a grand truth and put the pieces together. It's like a puzzle in front of everyone. Was I going to play nice with people? No. I had Warner Brothers attack me, saying that I used some of their material. And absolutely, I did. But under certain laws, I was protected to do so. I told them that as well. They backed off me very quickly, said they want no part of me. They said I can use whatever I want of theirs. Which, coming from a huge media corporation like Warner Brothers, it's profound. They said they don't want any piece of me. They don't want none of it. They don't want a fight. They don't want any scuffles. They don't want to see my face, which is very intelligent. Very. With the organizations I'm dealing with, I'm thinking most of them are being run by retards or something, because only a stupid person has a problem with me to begin with. And so they backed off me. Well, it's quite well and happy little victory there. But lo and behold, I've got PBS saying that I used some of their material, and which I did. But again, they didn't recognize the fact that certain laws are enacted. They didn't care. They wanted to push and push. And it's a bit of hypocrisy. Aren't they supposed to be educating people? Isn't that their creed, their mission, their goal, their purpose? I use some scientific data in conjunction with other scientific data. And they try to persecute me. Luckily, I ended up having to have some other people replace the footage for me with identical footage from other sources. But for the simple fact, and it really disturbed me, really. It really disturbed me how tapped some organizations are. You would really think, you know, they're not a part of the military industrial complex. You know, why would they care about this? Why would they care about any of my documentaries? But therein lies the connection between all of these institutions. Department of Education, well, that's something that is heavily controlled by the establishment that lords over us, that does not want to give us any real education. They want to indoctrinate, as Nuroki 5 just said. It's all about the indoctrination. Indoctrination, indoctrination, indoctrination. I mean, I felt betrayed when I found out Bill Nye, the science guy, was not a real scientist. And by the way, who is still talking about vaccines like he's an expert. Well, I think he had a master's in engineering. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say that he wouldn't know other scientific disciplines. I mean, I know many scientific disciplines. That's why I'm whistleblowing on covert technology that the shadow government, these spy agencies are using. They figured it out. Figured it out fairly quickly.
And B, I'm just gonna say I don't have a
PhD in anything. I don't have a master's in anything. Hell, I didn't even go to college to do radio. I stepped to everything with what I know, and I learned pretty much like a jump program from the Matrix, and I do my thing.
But that Bill was Nye's pretty much guy. Me as well.
Yeah. And so Bill Nye, the science guy, someone who's on PBS all the time, you know, I'm growing up thinking this guy must be the top professor wherever he came from. And so I that betrayal and all that, you know, I just, that's why it's up to us to get the truth out there. We cannot trust any institution. We have to do the investigations. We have to do the teaching. We have to make sure that we also guard this knowledge and make sure that it doesn't get wiped away. Okay? That's why we do what we do. So, anybody, yeah.
Exactly. And that's the common thread, just quickly here. The common thread is with Veritas and everything, they and us and Facebook and PBS, they don't want this information to come out at all. And they're doing everything within their power to block it because we have been so effective. And they wouldn't be blocking and banning people like us if we hadn't been effective. And, you know, talking about camps, don't forget Hillary Clinton said, yeah, we will put them in camps. It'll be fun camps. And it's interesting, too, because Jack Dorsey over there, who he has this one tweet where he says, I'm drinking some wine, making some pasta, reading the satanic verses, and he can ban all Donald Trump and Louis Farrakhan and Alex Jones. But, you know, there's groups of people that go around every single day hunting pedophiles, finding their accounts, flagging them, and those people don't get banned whatsoever. And Project Veritas does do some good work. I wish they would go after some more right-wing people, too, but I guess it is necessary, the balance, because as much as Trump was part of that whole system, as much as Trump, you know, protected pedophiles and, you know, dishonored his oath to the Constitution, there is an abnormal amount of hate towards Trump, and that maybe that Veritas does bring some balance. But yeah, we all need to prepare for the fun camps if this information doesn't get out.
I'm gonna sorry, Will. We're gonna get off on a little bit of a sidebar here. Have you heard of the Council of Domestic Policy? Because I only first heard about them a little over a month ago myself.
Never have.
Oh, apparently, and this is something that I'm gonna have to find that podcast. Another podcaster, though, Sam Tripoli, was like comparing one or the Trump camp is one criminal family booting out another criminal family, and it's like if you actually take a step back and look at it, that's almost how it seems, you know. And it's sort of like it's gotten to that point, you know. And the Council of Domestic Policy is basically they're the other wing to the Council of Foreign Relations. For lack of a better term, and yeah, they're like two competing criminal families. Now, this whole thing with Twitter and PBS, yeah, I'm not surprised. And when we get into the next topic, which, by the way, I think we can very nicely segue into here, unless you have something else you want to say about the PBS and Twitter and Project Veritas, Will, we can move on to the next topic. If you have anything more to say on this one. Okay, no, so let me
Hold on. I want to say very quickly, who came up with the fact checkers? Was Twitter using any fact checkers?
Well, there have been some fact checkers throughout the internet, kind of before. There's PolitiFact, which is an independent fact checker. There's Snopes, which is made by the two people. I don't even think they have a college degree. One's married to a stripper. And so the most of these fact checkers are mainstream people. And Facebook also employs fact checkers independently from that as well, too, as does Twitter.
Well, I know they're mainstream people. I know with my media group, the Liberty Beacon Media Project, on some their pages, they have ratings of other networks, and my network, they had the audacity to make a meter, and we're all the way right wing, tinfoil hat.
Which is so funny, dude, because me and you are not right wing whatsoever at all. And there's actually a lot of people on this network that are not right wing whatsoever. Oh, and that's what they do too.
I voted traditionally up in Canada. I traditionally voted New Democrat up until this last election. New Democrat is solidly left of center. Continue.
And that's how they pigeonhole. And I guess just tying a bow on this all really quickly before you get off onto the next topic. But, you know, when we're looking for these alternative platforms, because the censorship is crazy, I mean, you look on BitChute, because I have a small presence on BitChute. And if you look up BitChute right on the right-hand side on Google, it's going to say it's an alt-right Nazi platform. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, and so they're going to just vilify all these new projects. And that's why it's more important than ever to make it be known that we're not right-wing, we're not necessarily left-wing, we're not necessarily anything. We're just concerned about what's going on, because they're trying to, first you label me, then you defeat me, so.
Well, the people, they're going with the far-right narrative right now, because it's something that most of the adults that have grown up, like, I can remember. Like, I was old enough to remember when the far right was going after video games. And they also remember them when they were going after Dungeons and Dragons when I was playing it as a kid, right? You know, I mean, that's not that far back in the future. In fact, there's still guys around today that I would still engaging in some very dishonest stuff on the right. There's a guy named Eric Dubai, for instance, who promotes promotes this concept of big paleo, who essentially goes around trying to say that paleontologists intentionally buried all of these bones and then dug them up to promote this dinosaur narrative, which of course doesn't work. Joe Rogan has even had a couple of people on his show to debunk this Eric Dubai guy. At point. So, I mean, there are still people out there on the right. They're just, at this point, they're not the ones controlling the cultural narrative. It's essentially the leftists that have full control of the cultural narrative at this point.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, which gets me into the next topic here. Hold on a second. Let me just timestamp this. Okay, the next topic. And this one probably really shouldn't be all that surprising, because I mean, I knew, and we had a show at the start of the year where I said, like, as soon as Biden got sworn in, they were going to have to move quickly to try to bring everybody into line, because if they kind of let things stew a little bit, like, the external pressures were going to catch up to the, in fact, there already are brush fires starting to, like, heat up in very specifically in the Middle East right now. But the mainstream media and some, I can't remember which Democrat congressmen were, but they were demanding an outright investigation of the alt tech platforms, aka Minds, Gab, Parler, BitChute, Brighteon, Rumble, that sort of thing. Couple of reasons why they would want to do that, and there's a couple of reasons why they would want to do that right away. Because one, I mean, and this happened even before the election, before that whole thing with George Floyd started, right after that, and right after they had all those riots back in June of last year, involvement in the groups that I was running in Facebook and membership in those groups, like the number of people joining in a given month, like tripled. And, you know, I haven't seen the Alexa data, and I probably should go over to alexa.com and look. But I mean, if I were to go look at the Alexa data for, say, Minds, Gab, MeWe, BitChute, that sort of MGTOW TV, all of those other alt tech platforms, I'd be willing to bet that involvement in those alt tech platforms has just skyrocketed. Would probably be a good idea, but it's hard to say because I haven't actually seen the data, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, what I can tell you specifically with my YouTube channel, and yes, I still do have a YouTube channel, even though I don't post, I barely post up on Facebook anymore, like I'm actually getting more viewership off of Gab and Minds and MeWe right now and some of the chat boards than I was when I was posting up at Facebook on a regular basis. So this move, this call, this demand for an investigation into this, of course, they're going to leave out Facebook, Twitter, and Google, and so on and so forth. They're going to leave those guys out of it. But there's a twofold move here. First idea is to scare people into not joining those platforms. The other one is to kind of like scare the platforms into towing the line. And the third one is to get those platforms to basically, if they can, to get those platforms shut down. But it's like what Tim Pool, when he looked at Jack Dorsey, when Jack Dorsey was on with him on the Joe Rogan podcast, Tim Pool looked directly at Jack Dorsey and said, when you boot someone off your platform, you're not actually shutting them up. And that's exactly what's happened, right? They think they're shutting people up, but they haven't. You know, MeWe is a big example of that. MeWe is just absolutely exploding right now in terms of participation. Again, though, I don't have the exact stats on it. But yeah, am I surprised that they would call for investigation of the alt tech platforms? No, I'm not. Reason why I'm not is because they have to move. They have to try to get these platforms either out of service or in line, and they have to do it quickly because, again, the external pressures that are going to start coming out of the woodwork because of the way Biden got into power necessitate that they have to get their house in order inside domestically fairly quickly, like really quickly, because if they don't, and they're probably not, and it's not going to work, of course, because they're alienating. When I get the Keystone pipeline, they're alienating as many people as they're helping, right? They're appealing to a very limited base of people. And that limited base of people what they're attempting to do inside the United States right now has been done in many, Code Red Pill talks about this. They've done this sort of thing in many Latin American countries before. The difference between those Latin American countries and what happens in the United States is that, unlike those Latin American countries, people in the United States constitutionally have the right to defend themselves and are armed to the teeth. And I will let whoever wants to go next can go next.
Well, I'll jump in here quickly to say you're absolutely right. I'm not sure if you guys knew about this, but DLive, which is formerly Steemit and now currently owned by Justin Sun from Tron and other ventures, has recently basically, because of the shakedown from the ADL, and probably, you know, working maybe with the Biden administration, but, you know, they're always getting information from the top down there. They basically told DLive, hey, we don't like some of this stuff. So what they did is they put an X on anybody that wasn't a gamer and automatically demonetized their channel. And this was including people like Titus Frost, who was like their number one, always on like the homepage. And they completely demonetized it. And he asked one of the moderators, and their screenshot of the response was, well, this is not a free speech platform. And so what you're going to see right now, and like you said, this is only appeals to a small demographic here. There's always going to be people thirsty for free different platforms. And even some of these other platforms like Gab and Parler and stuff like that, some of them are more echo chambers than others, but they're still not completely fulfilling that void. People are going to be searching and searching for that void and until that gets filled. So, you know, any coders out there, hey, get in touch with me. You know what I'm saying? Find me on Instagram, Fake Mike Real News. I got some ideas.
Yeah, well, look, all I know is that other avenues are going to be opening up, and I can't talk about them too much. Well, with the exception that I do have some people working on having a server just for our media, and we're going to have basically, I want to say, sort of a wiki, and it's a wiki done by all members on the site, a chat, and a general forum. I'm going to try to have it to where people can create their own forum. It's basically like Reddit, but not as mean. It's going to be more open. It's not going to be karma points this, karma points that. Unless you're a really, 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 really naughty boy, you're going to be tossed into the troll box. And the troll box is basically just going to be trolls where they can be trolls. I'm not going to censor them. I'll lock them out of the rest of the server, but they're going to be somewhere where they can cause all the ruckus that they want to. So that's my response in fighting all the censorship and the separation of people online. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, yeah. Again, not a huge surprise at what's going on. I'm pretty sure Parler is going to be back at some point. I think we got Parler up as a topic for tomorrow. Let me just take a look here. Yeah, I think Parler is up as a topic. Yeah, the Parler lawsuit legal challenges are up as a topic for tomorrow, for tomorrow's show. And, I mean, yeah, I mean, bottom line is that if, you know, this is a guy who I'm not a particularly good fan of, but he used to run a podcast before he kind of like some gear in his brain just kind of fell apart, called Roosh V. And he had a guest on one time, and his analysis of this one, his guest analysis of what was going on, I think fits perfectly. We're in a renaissance times about 1,000. You know, like, if you lie right now, everybody's going to know about it. And, you know, it's like, you're not, it's like watching, for instance, the mainstream media, there's no way, for instance, that people in the mainstream media do not know that their influence is slipping, you know? And like, I mean, what I'm seeing here is that when it comes to the mainstream media, I'm seeing a group of people that are just like addicted to power. And what they're doing is they're just continuing to go along and pretend that there isn't a problem until the problem like literally lands right in their laps. And I have encountered a group of people who act that way. And those are people who have active drug addictions. And when you're dealing with people like that, especially when they're in your life, what you end up usually having to do is you end up having to cut those people out of your life. Because if you keep them around, they will just simply keep abusing you or getting you in deeper and deeper and deeper until, you know, you either go down with them or you have to save yourself. And that's pretty much what's going on with the establishment of the mainstream media in Hollywood, and that whole complex, right? You have to separate yourself from it, because they just want to keep going, even though they know what the end result is going to be, because for them to make the uncomfortable changes that they would have to make would require a lot of soul searching and a lot of self-reflection, which most of the people in that industry just simply don't have. And that's all I'm going to say about this particular one, unless somebody else has anything more to say on it. Does anybody else have anything more to say?
Nope.
Okay, going once, going twice, going three times. Sold. Okay, I am going to try calling. I'm going to try calling these two guys again. Hold on a second. And all right, I'm calling them right now. Topic number three. Now, this one actually hits a little bit close to home. We're talking about the Keystone Pipeline here. Now, on V's show, what you heard is that I am connected to the key. Well, was. I probably won't be for much longer because they shut it down on the U.S. side. And because they shut it down on the U.S. side, they're going to be shutting it down fairly rapidly on the Canadian side as well. You know, the pipeline, well, Biden said he was going to do this. But here's the thing, and this is something that I have, again, this is something that I have encountered before in a different era, in a different time, back in the 90s. They used to have environmental protesters come up to BC to protest clear cuts in BC. And my brother, who was on one of the bigger timber unions in Canada at that time, was telling me things like, you know, that it's only the Canadian parcels of land of production that are getting blocked like this, like Weyerhaeuser and Georgia Pacific aren't getting blockaded at all. And a lot of this, I mean, first of all, I mean, the new Green Deal really isn't a Green Deal at all. Apparently only about 5 to 10% of the new Green Deal actually involves the government. Most of it involves a wealth redistribution. I once mentioned Warren Buffett and how Warren Buffett directly benefits from not having a pipeline go run down to Houston from Canada carrying Canadian crude. It's got a lot of it isn't about the environment. You know, I can tell you from my side and from the amount of modules I had to go through, and they have an extensive module when you start working on Keystone, where you're basically instructed about how they have a protocol in place about how to deal with Native American sites when they come to them. And it's fairly extensive module. Like, it took me about 40 minutes to complete it, and it's not even really relevant to what I do. But I mean, they've also got one for the environment, so I mean, they are taking huge amounts of precautions already. So a lot of this, and again, the issue with shutting down these resource-based productions, though, is that they just shut them down, but they don't actually offer any immediate alternatives. Now, the one immediate alternative is to, in Canada, you'd go on CERB. It's the relief stimulus package. What they've got down in the U.S. And it's more or less the same amount of money, if I'm not mistaken. The whole thing is what appears to be a way of trying to keep you dependent on the state, Because again, right, and this is something that I'm beginning to realize more and more as I continue to dive into this more and more. Independent, free thinking, financially independent people, who independent thinkers, are not an asset for the group of people that are currently in power. They want you to be dependent upon them. They would like to control the means of production. And shutting down Keystone, yes, there are some environmental considerations. But again, like, I'm going to refer back to another pipeline that we're building up here in Canada right now called Northern Gateway. Now, the issue with the Northern Gateway pipeline here in Canada was that it ran through probably about 13 or 14 reservations, and only one of them protested on it. And the hereditary chief of that reservation claimed that they weren't consulted. Here's the problem with that. And I don't know, I'm pretty sure they've got something similar to this in the U.S., but I don't know what the laws are down there. But if they are to build a pipeline through reservation land, they have to get the approval of the tribal council. And which is kind of like the city council, more or less, right? They have to consult with the tribal council. And the tribal chiefs are supposed to be part of that council. So in order, in the particular case of this one reservation, in order for that chief to claim that he wasn't consulted, he either didn't attend, lied about attending, or was not given a deal to his satisfaction, and he thinks he can get more. And by the way, I believe in this particular case, this particular chief is a he. Now, is that the case down in the U.S. with the Native territories down there? I'm not fully familiar with it, but I mean, I hate to, because I am Native American myself, but I mean, I've seen so much of this happen for so long now that I have to almost by habit consider that there's a financial motive in place, and that's being used, and the environmental aspect of it being used as a shell game to move money around or to transfer wealth back and forth. So the Keystone Pipeline, and by the way, I've seen some, New Mexico gets a huge, it's already backfiring because, I mean, New Mexico did vote for Trump in the 2020 election. New Mexico gets a huge portion of their tax revenue from oil and gas already, so they're already getting stung. Wisconsin, although, again, Wisconsin was one of those states that Biden stole, allegedly. Again, I can't say for sure because it hasn't been officially proven in court, so I can only say allegedly. But Wisconsin, on the books, voted for Biden. Massive numbers of jobs cost in Wisconsin over this. And probably with Illinois. Yeah, so Biden hasn't even been in power for 2 weeks already. And he's already backstabbed several people that supported him in his election process. And whoever wants to go next can go next.
Go ahead, Will.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy with Biden. I kind of knew this stuff was going to get shut down. My initial thoughts were, you know, it'd be ideal if we could live in a world with Tesla energy, and that's not the case. But I'm a strong proponent of the free market and free enterprise. So if a private company on private land wants to do whatever they want, the government should not be able to shut it down. Now, I do respect the sacred land, and if there's indigenous people that want it to be built around different lands, well, that's fine. And if those people want to get together and then they, you know, we'll sell our land, and that's fine too, because that's how things work. That's a consensual agreement there. But what is not consensual is the Biden administration saying you can't have business. Okay, well, you can't have business in America. Well, obviously we can't. There's a number of reasons that we don't have a free market in the United States, and this is just another glaring example And it's unfortunate, too, because with coronavirus and everything being shut down, and even Joe Biden will tell you so many people are going to be, 14 million people might be homeless because if we don't do something about this this housing and rent crisis coming up, well, yeah, what's worse, a flu or 14 million people homeless? And now you're going to take more people out of jobs. So whenever the state makes decisions with corporations or stop the free market, that is one of the many definitions of fascism. So it's terrible to see it happening. But what else do you expect from an open pedophile?
Well said, well said. And I often find myself reminding people that, you know, they complain they can't get this, they can't get that, they're running out of money here, and business endeavors over here are crashing. And, you know, even with my own business endeavors, things are a bit difficult. A lot of what I have to do is being done over the internet. And so with this whole plandemic, the plandemic was there to create that reset in wealth. Now, with the whole censorship over the internet, they get to pick and choose who can make money and who can't. That's the whole purpose of it. So, as I mentioned earlier, during my part of the show, this is bad. This is really bad, because the European Union has already rolled out the bill to have any politician, given the ability to the politicians, that if any of them dislike a website, a post, an article, they can call the ISP, demand they take it down, and they have to take it down, or not route traffic to it. Just completely block it off. Now, if you're somebody who is a conspiracy theorist or conspiracy expert, you're an independent journalist, you can essentially be starved to death for non-exposure. So it's no longer a free market. And of course, they don't want people to have the real information about COVID, because I know there are many documentaries out there that have made a difference. People did learn about this, and people did learn about that. Most recently, Vax the movie, okay? Censoring the hell out of Vax 2. So, I know I have my documentaries that I would like to spread out there worldwide, but they're going to try to control the flow of information and money. Even if they have to keep you poor and broke, make sure you have that I gotta eat syndrome. Forget everything else, I gotta eat. Forget everything else, I gotta get a roof over my head. And bring you down to the lowest basic level of life that no American should have, let alone anyone else. So that's just what I know about it. That's all I can really say at this moment.
Okay, yeah. I am directly affected because of what happened with Keystone. Normally I am somewhat concerned with doxing and people finding out where I work at this point. But I mean, to be quite honest with you, I mean, I'm probably only going to be working out at this particular location for a month, maybe two more at most. So if anybody tries to dox, well, first of all, you don't even know what my real name is. But if somebody tries to dox me on this, it's sort of like, well, you know, I'm going to be looking for a new, in fact, I am already in the process of looking for a new job already as we speak. So it's sort of like whatever vicarious thrill you might get from potentially finding out who I am and somehow miraculously getting me fired from the project won't really have any type of a lasting impact at this point. It's like, normally I don't share what I'm talking about here, but I mean, the whole election thing that was going, the whole election situation that was going down in the U.S., I mean, everybody knew what Biden was going to do. I mean, I was a little bit shocked that he did it right off the bat. I mean, I thought he was maybe going to like sit on it for a couple of weeks, but I mean, he didn't. And I could tell you specifically where I'm at right now. You can already, just in the week or so that I've been out there, you can already start to see, I was already starting to see the place where I was staying when I wasn't doing my job. I could already see that place starting to like get less crowded. Now, there's going to be, on the Canadian side, there's still going to be some work going on. So, but I mean, I don't think my particular part of that is going to be going on much more past, say, anything past the end of February, and I'm going to be looking for something new. That's just me. Anyway, I am not entirely, again, like, whenever something like this comes up, it's sort of like somebody else is benefiting from the Keystone Pipeline being shut down. And I mean, at this point, the people in power view the rank and file citizens as things and not people. And that's where we're at. And because that's where we're at, you know, it's going to have to be up to us as the individuals to do what we can to make sure that whatever we want to get done in our lives gets done, and to not just act and hope that the cavalry is going to be riding over the hill, because the cavalry probably ain't coming, at least not for the next 4 years anyway. So if anybody else has anything more to say on this, I'm going to move on to the next topic. Does anything else, anybody else have any closing comments?
No, that's it.
All right. Next one is, again... You know, Biden is supposed to be a pro-feminist president, but I mean, I'm just going to say it. If transgender athletes want to compete in sports, they will have to set out a specific transgender division. And I'm not even afraid to say this. I think men that transition over to women and then enter women's sports, I think that's just a really wussy way of getting accolades. I mean, especially it's a cop out. And it's, you know, I mean, there's a particular, we've covered this, there's a couple of girls in Connecticut that were really putting up a fight on this. Now, I mean, I will admit, I mean, when gay marriage got allowed, became the law of the land, I was actually quite happy, you know. And there were a few people at the time who said it's sort of like, well, no, this is going to be the slippery slope and everybody's going to jump on board and they're going to move over to the next thing. And it was, I remember like looking at them going like really, transgender bathrooms, like females transitioning into men transitioning into women and entering female sports. I mean, like, that is patently ridiculous. It is going to be so obvious that there is an imbalance there that common sense will just basically dictate that, no, it's not going to happen. I stand corrected. It did happen. Here's the part about what's going on with this. And I mean, I can't just dismiss, because I mean, Will was talking about pedophiles and about all the crazies that jumped on board after gay marriage got done and tried to tie themselves into the LGBTQ or movement. You know, what is, because I mean, they are, if once the everything around transgenders becomes law, I mean, what are they gonna push for next? I mean, you're already starting to see pedophiles nibbling away at the edges, trying to gain viability, and there is definitely a pedophile faction in Hollywood. By no means are they the only faction in Hollywood. There's also the Scientologists. There's also the AA crowd. There's also, you know, there's a faction that's Jewish, you know? So, I mean, there's various other factions, and there's also the satanic cultists and whatever. So there's various factions inside Hollywood. It's not just pedophiles. Once the transgenders get their rights, once you start getting in words of Jordan Peterson compelled speech, and you're forced to address, like, I mean, I remember when I first ran into transgenders on a large scale when I was living in Vancouver back in the 2000s. I mean, there were some of them where the transitioning was so bad that I remember I was like looking at them going, well, do I use he or do I use she? And the guy who I'm working with, who happens to be gay, and I look at him and I go, what do I use? And he's like looking at me, you know, I don't fucking know. I mean, I'm just as confused as you are. And, you know, but what comes next? And you can't just dismiss this. It's the men transitioning into women and dominating women's sports is an absolute cop out. You know, I can already tell you what's going to happen if they keep pushing it. Certain countries that aren't as quote unquote progressive are just going to stop sending athletes to the Olympics as a form of protest. And yeah, it's going to be countries like Iran and so on and so forth. And the media is going to try to play these countries off as being sexist and misogynist and not with the times and whatever. But I mean, if I'm from one of those countries and a woman, and you got to understand something about women's athletics. I mean, there's not as many female athletes as there are male athletes, but to even reach the top of your profession in female athletics takes a lot of work. You know, like, it's not a cakewalk for the female athletes. I mean, like, it's like, I mean, you have to be obsessed and driven to succeed on a level that, I mean, I quite honestly, sometimes when I've run into some of these athletes at that level, seems almost fanatical. But that's what's required. And I mean, you put in all of that effort to get to the peak and the pinnacle of your sport, and some self-serving guy who transitions into a woman, particularly in women's weightlifting, who has a natural advantage, because just because your hormone balance is now female doesn't mean that the muscle that you had and the bones and the bone density and all of those other physical advantages that men have growing up, that doesn't go away because your hormonal balance now has you down as being a female. You still have that muscle mass. And you get to the pinnacle, and you can't even compete against these guys because their biology naturally will make them stronger than you. And they don't have to work nearly as hard to compete against the women than they do against the men. Because, I mean, every time a man sets a record in a sporting event, like, it's an actual record. Like, no man has ever gotten to that point before. No man has ever lifted that heavy a weight before. You know, when a woman gets to that weight, you know, in a lot of cases, I mean, that's training weight for a lot of male athletes. I'm just talking specifically about weightlifting, but I'm talking about pretty much in every sport. You know, so I mean, yeah, it's just, it's an insult and it's a slap in the face to the women that have decided that this is where they want to go in their careers, and to have the state like literally hamstring them so that they're not able to compete because of biology. That's the part that really gets to me about this. And I mean, it's like, here's the other thing about this that I've noticed. I mean, feminism is supposed to be about women's right and women's opportunity. And this is a particular case where you have men removing opportunity from women, and yet feminists have remained staunchly silent about this issue. In fact, if anything, they've actually taken the side of the transgenders. So, I mean, they're not even getting any help from feminists for the most part. So, I mean, you want to call me sexist, you want to call me a bigot, you want to call me a phobe, fine. But stating proven scientific facts like males don't just lose inherent biological advantages like muscle and bone density and lung capacity because they transition into females is not phobic. Saying that those physical advantages give them a natural advantage on a competitive field is also not phobic. You know, if transgenders want to compete, it's worse. Because here's the thing, right? You only see males transitioning into females doing this. You don't see it going the other way. And why don't you see it going the other way? Because females transitioning into males can't compete against male weightlifters, rugby players, rowers, etc., cyclists, etc., etc., because they still have to deal with their natural physical disadvantage, even though their hormone balance is officially makes them male. So, yeah, I realize I kind of went on a long time about this one, but this is an issue that, you know, it's completely rude and disrespectful to women, and it's a complete fraud. And what V was saying, it's a cop-out for the men trying to do it. I think it's just a bunch of men trying to take the easy way out to trying to get financial glory for themselves. And whoever wants to go next can.
Well, I have to say, for the RBN listeners, this is the end of the show. Do you have another location where they can pick up from Neuroki? Please let them know. Let our audience know. Neuroki? Okay. I think he's just wanting me to wrap up the show. Okay, well, guys, that's it for this hour.
Hey, sorry. I don't know what the hell happened, but my mic wouldn't unmute. Yeah, no, there's okay. No... I record this on Skype, and then I post it up on YouTube, so...
Okay, where's that YouTube, really quickly?
Neuroki 5. I've also got a BitChute, and I've also got a Rumble, which has got nothing on it. We're in the process right now of doing what a lot of people are doing right now, and they're getting their stuff off of YouTube and onto alt platforms, and I'm in the process of doing that as well. I just haven't loaded it all up to BitChute and Rumble quite yet. So,
okay, well, guys, for those of you listening in, buy Neuroki 5. He's on YouTube, and he's going to be on other platforms. If you want to hear the rest of this conversation, for right now, we got to go. So thank you guys for tuning in, and catch us next week. It's real. Take her own pill.
Next time, Red Pill. real. Take her Earth pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.